accepts difficulties in the proper spirit. Sufferings are designed to make us better, not bitter. God brings men into deep waters not to drown them, but to cleanse them. Everybody has tests and temptations and trials and tribulations, but it's how you handle them that makes the difference. For example, the English poets Lord Byron and Sir Walter Scott were both cripples. Byron was very bitter about his lameness and always moody and self-conscious about it in public. Scott, on the other hand, was never heard to complain or speak one bitter word about his handicap, not even to his dearest friend. It's not surprising, then, that Scott once received a letter from Byron in which he said, "Ah, Scott, I would give all my fame to have your happiness." Charles Eliot, one of the greatest presidents of Harvard College, felt terribly bitter as a boy about the serious facial disfigurement with which he was born, until one day his mother gave him this advice which changed his life. She told him, "My son, we have consulted the best surgeons, and they say that it is not possible for you to get rid of this handicap. But it is possible, with God's help, to grow a mind and a soul so big that people will forget to look at your face." And he did. And who hasn't heard of Helen Keller? She was deaf, dumb, and blind. But because of the love and dedication of a sweet Christian nurse, Annie Sullivan, she learned not only to write, but to speak as well. She became a world-famous poet, writer, and public speaker, and has been a tremendous encouragement to millions of deaf, dumb, and blind people throughout the world. Her example has given them hope that they don't have to get discouraged and give up and be useless just because they have such severe handicaps. She once said, "I thank God for my handicaps, for through them I have found myself, my work, and my God." God's ways are sometimes mysterious, and we don't always understand the reason behind everything he does, but one thing we can be sure of is that the Lord always has a reason and a purpose, and if for some reason he doesn't deliver us from some handicap or affliction, it is because he knows that for some reason or other, it is good for us to have them. It's true that God's love does not always keep us from suffering and trials, but it is a love that always keeps us through sufferings and trials. And let's never forget that the trials and storms of life no more indicate the absence of God than clouds indicate the absence of the sun.
Sometimes I wonder when things go so wrong. Has God forsaken and left me alone? Then I remember trials and distress, he's always with me. I'm most richly blessed.
I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. And almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed.
He's always with me. I'm most richly blessed.
The cocoon of the emperor moth is flask-shaped. In order for the perfect insect to appear, it must force its way through the neck of the cocoon in hours of intense struggling. It is believed that the pressure to which the moth's body is subjected is a provision of nature for forcing the juices into the vessels of the moth's wings, enabling it to fly. A person was once witnessing this struggle and, out of pity, took some scissors and snipped the confining threads of the cocoon to make the moth's exit easier. But the moth's wings never developed, and it spent its brief span of life crawling around on the ground instead of flying through the air on rainbow wings. So look not with false pity on God's children who suffer. As men, we're inclined to be short-sighted. Rather, look for the good that will come out of it. For if we did not have to sometimes struggle against the hardships and adversities of life, our personalities would never develop to their fullest. People thrive on troubles. Ease and comfort and applause only leave them barren. Trials bring out the best in us. Ease doesn't. It's like the ancient account of a Greek soldier who had a painful disease that was likely at any time to kill him. So, because he expected to die at any moment, he became completely fearless in battle. He had nothing to lose. His general, Antigonus, so admired his bravery that he had him cured of his disease by the best physicians. But from then on, the once valiant soldier was no longer seen at the front. He avoided danger and tried his best to protect his life instead of risking it. His affliction had made him fight well, but health and comfort destroyed his usefulness as a soldier. How true it is that the average man can stand adversity better than prosperity. And the calm which puts us to sleep may be more fatal than the storm which keeps us awake. One thing certain about trials is that they always change our relationship with God. Either they drive us away from Him, or they drive us closer to Him. In fact, God sometimes lets people fail if He knows it will drive them to Him. God sometimes puts us in the dark to prove to us that He is light. So when God is allowing you to go through a trial, He's probably doing it so that you will cry out to Him and be drawn closer to Him. How our trials and sufferings drive us closer to God can be pictured by the vine whose twining tendrils clings to the oak even during the fiercest of storms. If the vine is on the side of the tree opposite the wind, the great oak is its protection. And if it is on the exposed side, the tempest only presses the vine closer to the trunk. And so it is in some of the storms of life that God intervenes and shelters us while in others he allows us to be exposed so that we will be pressed more closely to him. Sometimes I'm sad, I know not why. My heart is torn apart. It seems the burdens of this world have settled on my heart. And yet I know that God, who doeth all things right, will lead me thus to understand, to walk by faith, not sight. And though I do not see the way he's planned for me to go, the way seems dark to me just now, but oh, I'm sure he knows. Today he guides my feeble step. Tomorrow is his right. He has asked me to never fear, but walk by faith, not sight. Someday the mists will roll away. The sun will shine again. I'll see the beauty in the flowers. I'll hear the birds refrain. And then I'll know my Father's hand has led the way to light, because I placed my hand in his and walked by faith, not sight.
If we could see beyond today as God can see, if all the clouds should roll away, the shadows flee, o'er present griefs we would not fret, each sorrow we would soon forget, for many joys are waiting yet. For you and me. If we could know beyond today as God doth know, why, dearest treasures pass away and tears must flow, and why the darkness leads to light, why dreary days will soon grow bright, someday life's wrongs will be made right. Faith tells us so. If we could know, we often say, but God in love a veil doth throw across our way. We cannot see what lies before, and so we cling to him the more. He leads us till this life is o'er. Trust and life is all. Trust and obey. Thank you.
Sometimes it helps to ask yourself a few questions when you're in the midst of